on and talk about your training in the... Who was your captain, for instance?
Well, I had three captains in the Vancouver. I met Govrow, Dickie Hart, and Houghton.
Three captains in Vancouver, Govrow, Houghton, and Hart.
Yeah.
What do you remember of Govrow?
Great old fellow. He was a real, a wonderful, wonderful French-Canadian who had the spirit of this country. And I'm a great believer. I'm brought up in Quebec, you know. I'm a sixth-generation Quebecer. And there's a lot of, there's so much good in that province.
Yes.
There's so much good in that province. And these people that really got into things turned out well. It's those that remained on the fringes or didn't get in. But those who made up their mind, like our one governor general, these are people who really got into it. Govrow was a fine officer.
Yes.
And
he was the Seigneur de Villeray, you know.
I'm thinking of not Govrow so much as a fine officer. I'm thinking of his outlook was good.
Yeah.
I'm now thinking also of Brodeur.
Yeah.
These are fine people.
Mm-hmm. Was Cassette Quebecois?
I just knew him a little bit.
Was he Quebecois?
He's Quebecois. Oh, yeah.
And Houghton?
Oh, he was my captain, yes. Grandfellow.
Yeah. What in specific about Houghton as a captain?
Great sense of humor. I enjoyed serving under Frankie Houghton. I can't remember anything specific about him.
And your last captain was?
Hart and Govrow.
Yeah, Govrow we've done. Houghton we've done. What about Hart?
He was fine. Absolutely fine. They weren't outstanding. I don't think, I've got to be frank here. I wish they'd been a little more forward-looking.
Yes.
Looking back on it now,
we
should have been far more forward-looking in this thing.
Yes.
They stuck this thing out through the lean years, and they stuck it, and I was possibly a little disappointed in the inward-looking side. When I looking back, I wish we'd been more outward-looking and more...
Well, the future, we were kind of coasting on our reputation
coasting.
Of the past,
that's
I
right.
think. Would you say that was
I
accurate?
I would say so. We were coasting.
During the Pax Britannica, nothing had happened.
We were coasting.
Except gunboat actions. Then World War I, we won it. We didn't do that well at Jutland, but we claimed the victory. And we were kind of coasting on a tradition of several hundred years and not making...
We thought we were good.
We thought we were good, and we had proved it for a couple of hundred years, but what about the next time, which was you're going to be your problem, you see, and in looking back on it, you think we might have been more forward-looking.
Oh, yes, much more.
In what way now? What could we have done?
Well, I could give examples of that. I remember taking my own destroyer... when I had the Iroquois during the war, and I became very interested in action information centers. In fact, one battle I was in Iroquois and led is still in battle instructions, and I could not see how we could fight battles without having a plot, an efficient plot, and that type of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, my rear admiral destroyer stood up at a lecture and said, I want my captains on the bridge.
Yes.
And I had to disobey his orders in the channel actions when I was in on the sinking of some 22 ships, and I took my ship into battle from my plot and then went on the bridge when the bullets started flying.
Yes.
But that's my idea of fighting the battle.
Well, I heard you say the same thing when you were the captain of the cruiser and I was a flotilla gunnery officer for the destroyers. And you said, I fight my night actions from the plot.
Yep.
When we were on our way south somewhere.
Did I?
Yes,
I didn't know you were there.
Yes, I did.
You said, what were you in at that time?
I was Robbie's, big Robbie's flotilla jeep. Yeah.
I found we were...
So, you know, back then all we had was the Battenberg. We didn't really know where we were.
No. I don't see the point of captain looking out in the wind when you can't see much.
No. Of course, there was
but
no...
you want to be there when the battle
starts. The radar changed it, of course. Yes. All right, so you did your time...
I remember coming on the bridge in one action with Tony Coghlan, who was killed with my ship. Coming on the battle, when we were in the middle of the battle, and it was pouring with rain, and we were fighting off the French coast and in action there, and all of a sudden, we were engaged by the shore batteries. And Tony turned to me with a smile and said, you know, what I tasted then was salt water. These are the things that matter. That's wonderful for the spirit of a ship.
Well, I knew Tony Coghlan. He was like that. The splashes were coming inboard, were they?
Well, the splashes, see, we were steaming into the splashes a little bit.
Yeah.
He looked at me, lifted his tongue like that, and he said, Captain... That was salt.
Not rain.
That was salt.
Yeah.
Those are great.
It's a lovely little story. You did your time in the Vancouver into the Caribbean.
Then I went to Vancouver. I went first to attend the Champlain in Quebec, down in Halifax. I was first to Champlain, then I went from first lieutenant of the Ontario to first lieutenant.
Wait a minute, not Ontario.
The Champlain.
First lieutenant of Champlain.
First lieutenant of Champlain, where I served under Wallace Query.
Yeah.
He was my captain there the whole time I was in that ship. Yeah. And from there I went over to England for another two years. And I served in three British destroyers, the Skate, the Ambuscade, and the Bulldog. I first attended three British destroyers.
Mm-hmm.
Then I, in the Bulldog, I served, my Captain D was R.R. McGregor, who afterwards became First Sea Lord.
Wee Willie McGregor.
Wee Willie McGregor. He became First Sea Lord, and what a man that was, too. He inspired the whole flotilla, even those days. Little short man, and his wife was awfully nice to my wife. He weren't, in those days in England, he didn't meet people too readily, but his wife went out with Enos to the... spent a year in the Spanish Civil War. Not quite a year, about 9 months in the Spanish Civil War. Based in Saint-Jean-de-Luz, just near Biarritz. And we went out there, and she went out with Enos to the Hotel Angleterre, where we lived for 10 shillings a day, with all meals. And, but...
so that was
that flotilla was a great flotilla, you know. It was I was served in the fourth flotilla, and we were in those days. Even in those days, in 1937, we'd have seven flotillas.
Mediterranean fleet.
Home and Mediterranean fleets. Yeah. Then we joined it. Seven. 3, 4, 6, 9. Yes. We'd have 60 destroyers.
Oh, that's something, isn't it?
You know, when you did a fleet exercise with 60 destroyers,
yeah.
It was quite something. And we do very, very, at that time, that I'm now going to talking about the mid 30s. I went over in 36 to England, 37, everybody. Was training for war. That's one thing that I noticed right away going from Canada. We were, our flotillas.
Yeah.
The fourth flotilla, the second flotilla. Pullen was in the second flotilla as gunnery officer. I saw quite a lot of him in Gibraltar at that time. And in we were training for war. We wasn't, was no doubt in anybody's mind that we were training hard and working hard. And that was, I'm talking about 37. Period.
Well, the Navy and Winston Churchill seem to be the only two people that foresaw. Only two, that foresaw it.
We were right down to it, and I've said it in some of my papers, but we were getting right down to business. No doubt about it. There was no nonsense. And
training long hours, long days at sea, time periods at sea.
We did. We had the home fleet and the Mediterranean fleet. I think, accepted the fact that we had to be battle trains right there and then. I don't think, especially after 37.
Yeah. How do you compare the Canadian destroyers of those years to the RN destroyers as with
I
respect
hate
to
operational readiness? Oldies, but, I don't think it's, you know, how do I say this? And I want to be so nice about it, say, but most of our senior officers, and I hate to sound, I'm not going to sound critical, but most of our senior officers were pretty damn junior during the First World War. And I don't think I felt, be it from Percy Nellis or down, that they really put the emphasis on battle training that I'd hoped they would.
Yes, that's well put. You have to.
I don't want to sound critical.
No, but it events have proved that is probably so, and who. How would they think otherwise? They were, at the most, sub-lieutenants in the First World War.
And we were living with people that were doing this. Very few of us were actually in the fleet at that time, training for war.
Yeah. You left your three British destroyers and came back to...
I left my three British destroyers. I was in the Mediterranean. I got a telegram to return to Canada. And I nearly fell over backwards. Just been inspected. We had a wonderful inspection by the then, after later, First Sea Lord, R.R. McGregor, and I got a telegram to say I was retired in Canada. I was at Gibraltar at the time with the fleet. And I was to return to Canada. And I remember sitting on the steps in Gibraltar, those long steps, and nearly crying with pulling. And we were went in and we had a chat, and I wondered what this is all about. This is to point me to the Venture, a sailing schooner, moving from a flotilla that was absolutely trained for battle and brought back to go to a schooner, which I'd never heard of, called the Venture. I'd done a little small boat sailing and came back here and R.R. McGregor wanted to send a telegram to Canada, and I don't know whether he did or not, to keep me in the flotilla.
Yeah.
And my... I just said, I don't know what to do. I can't ask you to send a telegram. What he did, I don't know. I don't know whether he ever did or not. And I left this flotilla and came back to Canada and was appointed to this schooner.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 months. Now, the schooner was great. We went all through the West Indies and a lot of seamanship training. But, you know, there's where Percy Nellis was wrong. He gave me an extra 2 weeks to write my report. I've still got my report on that schooner. But, you know, that schooner is all right to train people. If there's time, but 2 years before you go to war, to try and get schooner training in, it's wonderful training. Now, you can't deny, everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, remember that old story of the sailor getting a week's holiday for his honeymoon. He wired back to his captain and said, "It's lovely here, request an extra week's leave. And the captain replied, "It's lovely everywhere, return to your ship."
Yeah.
I mean, all these things are good.
Yeah.
But there's not time.
No.
There's not time. Well, we did this training.
You had
Percy Nellis' idea. Percy Nellis'
idea. Well, he was the one that brought the Venture into being.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was his little baby. And he spent more time thinking about how he was going to integrate the Canadian Navy into the battle that was coming. It would have been better worrying about a schooner. Am I sounding critical? I don't mean to be.
No, well, it's... criticism is not a pejorative phrase, it's just a critique of what happened the way you see it now. He might well have been better off doing more modern trading. Charles Dillon talks about it in much the same way. He enjoyed his time in it. He was very seasick, I think.
I remember Charles.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember. We had two sub-lieutenants in with an RNR officer in the same ship. And I remember the RNR saying to me, "I don't think we have to." Those two cabin pals of mine said, "I don't think I don't think that tall, long one will ever get up again. He was so seasick. And this was at the schooner, oh yes.
Who was the tall, long one?
Rattan.
Oh, Rattan, yeah. And Dillon was the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're sitting. Kevin dropped the deck watch, so I used to have to take a sight and walk down to the chronometer carrying one and two and three to get the time right.
Because Dillon what?
He dropped the deck watch.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I don't be critical of it.
No. This is not criticism. We must rid our minds of that, Jimmy. Jimmy, it's not criticism, any of this. It's just what happened.
We went all through the West Indies, called at governor houses, and had a great time down there. And I can remember.
You had a sailing master.
Yeah, we had a sailing master, and he when they sent a Rolls Royce down and a footman to take us to government house in one place, we used to have to give him enough to drink to keep him. So he'd go, and yet not too much. I remember him coming down to the Rolls Royce and saying, the footman got out and opened the door, and he said, he looked at him, he said, there's only one man opened a door for me before, and that was in a Black Mariah.
Yeah. Who was your captain in that?
Just a second. The fellow, our head on one side.
Yeah, Pressy.
Pressy.
The sailing master came back on board one night when Pressy had some guests there, and he was half seas over, and he raised an awful ruckus. Were you first lieutenant then?
I was first lieutenant.
He chased Charlie Dillon up the mast. Did you remember that?
I don't remember every detail.
No.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
These are fine.
So you finished your time in the. She was. She was never really a good sailor, was she?
Well, she was good training for it if there was time. Excellent.
I mean, as a ship, she was. She had a stubby mainmast or something. She didn't have enough sail. She didn't like meeting up into the wind.
She had 12,000 square feet of sail.
Yeah, was that
12,000 square feet of sail? She was a. I can't be critical of the schooner other than say there wasn't time.
Yeah. Okay. So you left the schooner.
And then I went over to pick up the Restigouche in England, and with Billy Holmes.
Yes.
And we picked up the Restigouche, brought her back to Canada, and arrived back in Canada just the time of Munich.
Yes.
And we were at Sorel.
Yeah.
And I can remember Sorel so well at that period because I went down to pay my bill at the hotel at Sorel. Nina's had flown east to join me. Or come by train, I guess. And yes, yeah. And I found my bill had been paid, and I nearly had a fit. So Mr. Seymour had paid my bill at the hotel in Sorel, and I was nearly furious. And that time, I paid my bill, and I went away. And I said, Mr. Seymour is not to pay my bill. And I went up to Montreal, and that was the night of Munich, and I never forgotten Munich. That was, we were out in Montreal the night Munich was signed. Do you remember?
Yeah.
East in our time.
Yes. And,
came back to the West Coast, through the canal.
W.B.L. Holmes was not an easy captain.
Oh, I'm fine. I've been first of 10th of 4th. No captain worried me any longer.
Better men than him had tried to break your heart.
Oh, he was fine.
Yeah.
Casey, I decided I'd be first lieutenant, he'd be captain, and then we agreed.
Yeah.
The line was just as sharp as that.
Yeah.
And
you ran
my job, and he did his.
Yeah, well, that's...
I enjoyed it.
That's good. And so after Munich, then, what's the next thing that sticks out in your mind?
We came back here and did the West Coast, and then went down to the... Oh, biggest thing that came back. We went down to the 1938-39, we went down to... we went down to the West Indies and joined the American West Indies Squadron. Excellent exercises then. American West Indies Squadron.
Yeah.
All the four Canadian destroyers.
Yes.
And the American West Squadron. And we had good exercises there. Came back to Victoria. And I was asked to be, that's when I was asked to be... color officer when the King was coming in May 1939. In fact, he presented his color the first time in history he'd ever presented his the naval colour outside of the British Isles. And we received it here in Beacon Hill Park.
I've seen the picture.
It was a great spirit. That spirit was tremendous. Every man in the service worked day and night. And we were as dear perfect as was possible to be. We just worked and dug out for that, and it was a great thrill to everybody. Yeah. Everybody went right through the whole service. We carried that spirit into the war, I want to tell you.
Yes.
And I said earlier, two forces in the world, the spirit and the sword.
Yeah.
And the spirit's never been defeated by the sword. Some people don't understand the importance of a thing like the king visiting you and presenting his color.
Yeah.
But that color meant a lot to us.
Yes.
And the history and the tradition of that color. And what had gone through since Alfred the Great started this navy 1,000 years ago, you say, did we have gain by joining the RN? I say we inherited a tradition there that I felt part of. I may not be part British. I felt part of that tradition of the service.
Yes.
I felt part of the of something much bigger than I ever would be all along and proud to be.
Yes.
I wonder if I make my point.
Yes, you
that.
Do. You're part of something that's very, very important. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It makes you feel proud.
Yeah. That's why
the king visiting you made you all feel proud, and you went into war feeling that way.
You've gone lived this life.
Which takes
And then finally tear it away from you for some political reason.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good.
No.
You know, people would die for a country and die for their flag.
Yeah.
If you want to build people, you've got to build, if you want to build a service in Canada, you want to build Canada, you've got to build people.
Yeah.
This country is people.
Yeah.
I'm just asked to make a contribution to the Corvette, which I'm going to do, but I'm going to give my money mostly to the story of the people who fought in the Corvettes. I've just written that letter only yesterday. I'm going to give my money to tell the story of the people. The right stuff. That's what you need.
Yes. Well, there's no story out about the Corvette. Well, there's one called the Corvette Navy, but it doesn't cover all Corvettes.
No, they haven't talked enough about the people who went from all walks of life in this country, from the prairies, from everywhere, and I had so much to do with those people in the training of them. And I saw them when I was brought back as training commander, and I want that story properly told of people from all walks of life who got in there and stood the life in that Corvette and lived that life, and I want to bring out the people. I don't know how the ship can do it. That's what the
example. Well, the ship's a piece of metal,
yep.
These are Dr. Douglas's feelings too.
Well, I'm glad they are. I didn't know that.
Oh yes.
It's a story of the people.
And this is why he values contributions from such a man as yourself. Now, you're going proudly into a war, and we're very nearly up to September the 3rd.
We've had the presentation of the colour. We're nearly up to September. I was in the Restigouche, and I was going over to... I was appointed to G.C. Jones. Jones said, he'd like me as my first ten. And I said, look, Commander, I've been first lieutenant things all my life, and I want you as my first lieutenant. We're going to England, and we're going to pick up the Assiniboine. Assiniboine, I think it was. And then the war came, and he didn't go, and Mingy went over to pick up the Assiniboine. And I went over to England, and I was going to go over to the booked to go in the Athena. She was sunk.
Yes.
Then I was sent for and told to go on the Batory. And the Batory was a Polish ship, came built in the corridor, and beautiful ship. I joined the Batory. With India was sunk, I went to the Batory, and the Batory was, and I unpacked my clothes, and I got all fixed up. Gosh, beautiful. Nice stewardesses, good liquor, black label, scotch. I was in the bar, and I had to deal. I was the sailor who had to sign the ship was right, and I had certain jobs to do. And the captain said we'd come around the ship with him to see. I had to sign a paper that we were blackened out just for a sailing. The captain said to me, the crew, they won't sail. And I said, once we get to sea, everybody be happy around here. And they won't sail. So I phoned the, I think it was, I forget who it was in Halifax at that time. I think it was Yes, Rastus Reed.
Rastus Reed.
And I phoned him, and he got the Polish consul down. Whatever the Polish consul said, I don't know. I know that the crew didn't sail. They mutinied. And so at 4 in the morning, I decided that the other ship was going with us as a Lancastrian. And so I went over to the Lancastrian, and I had my golf clubs, and I had two bottles of scotch these girls had given me, two, one in each pocket, climbed a rope ladder. She was in the middle of the harbor going out. You know how hard from the water to the deck of a ship like the Lancaster.
Yeah.
So I went up this rope ladder like this, all the way up. And,
with your golf clubs and your two bottles of scotch.
Yeah, and got aboard there, and immediately the captain took off all my uniforms,
yeah,
put them down in the hole, and I signed on in the Merchant Navy as a wine steward. Now, I have my official discharge to this day from the Merchant Navy, and I can show it to you as a wine steward. Because you see, if we torpedoed and got in the boats, if I'd been a sailor, they would have taken me prisoner. So I decided, well, that's not the way to go. And Willie Porches was he going to be the engineer of this ship? The engineer of this ship.
Was he with you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then we went over the Lancaster and. That's how we got to England in the Lancaster and picked up the Cinnaboyne. And
you brought back into your naval uniform, took your discharge from the Merchant Navy, got back into your naval uniform.
Yep, and joined the Cinnaboyne. We sailed almost immediately for Canada, and we had $5 million worth of £5 million in gold. They loaded some gold on. They wanted to get gold out of England. That
yes,
time. And so they put the gold in the.
Well, what date is this now? War.
War 39, just after war declared.
War has been declared.
Just war declared. A month after war declared.
You commissioned the ship and brought her back?
Back her back to Canada and then sent to the West Indies to intercept German ships trying to come home.
Ah, yes.
And was there for 2 months and then I was made captain of Skeena.
Now, did you intercept any German ships?
Yep, we intercepted one. The Hanover, I think it was.
The Hanover?
Hanover.
Anything unusual about.
I remember her very well.
You just shot across her bow?
I forget anything unusual. We intercepted her, and one of her crew we had as a prisoner, we took her on board. He jumped overboard, you see. And he jumped overboard, and we lured a whaler to pick him up, and the coxswain of the whaler went down, and the Germans said, shoot me, shoot me. And Cockton said, I haven't got a boat, and grabbed his neck and brought him in. we were a couple of months based in.
And where did you take Hanover?
Somewhere near Jamaica.
Yeah, and dropped her off.
Oh, and we dropped her in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
How
did the Germans behave? Were they stroppy or.
They.
Disappointed or relieved?
No. They were all completely sold on Hitler, you know.
They
were all completely.
They were.
Oh, yes. So that's why this fellow jumped overboard and said, shoot me. And
they
were absolutely some. Oh, I know. We saw this even in the Germans we met at Panama Canal. They were real Nazis. And then we came back, and I sent back to join Skeena, and that's my.
Now we get you to your beloved Skeena.
Yeah, yeah. She was a great ship.
I know.
She was a great ship.
She sure was. And you and Harry.
That thing's still on?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was on. Yeah. I'm talking too much.
No. You're doing marvelously. Marvelous. This is quite the best tape I've had. We'll take it. Would you like to take a break in a minute?
Let's get it over with. Where are we now?
Well, we're into Skeena. And you and Nelson Lay and Harry DeWolf went overseas together.
That's right. We were in Halifax. We had to drive two convoys out of Halifax, and then on the 24th of May, 1940, we were sent for, and I remember Rastus Reed said, how long to get out of the way? And I said, we're 4 hours, no steam, I think I can get away in 2 hours. And we were just about to pipe a holiday for the 24th of May holiday.
Where are you?
In Halifax.
In Halifax, yeah.
And just about to and I this is something that's in my records and in my papers I'm giving to the university here, but this hits me so forcibly. We stop, take your mind back to those days. There was no people, their girls were waiting for them outside the gates, their laundry was the Chinaman, you know, all this type of thing. And we got ready, and I sent for the chief. I said, what do you need in the ship? And I said, I need a new chief. My chief's too old. So they gave me, names just my age go.
Let's go on.
So I got a new chief, chief engineer, and he also bought his golf clubs. I could still see him, put him down in the cabin, went up, and I said, I think we can get away in 2 hours. And the others felt, they'd been at sea, they were closer to steam. We got away in about 2.5 hours, and we went off to Plymouth. And this is something that's terribly close to my heart. I keep saying the spirit, the right stuff, people. I cleared Lord Deck, it was blowing gale outside, and I, in the mess decks, and I said, nobody knew where they were going, nobody had any idea. Go to meet a convoy, what happened, why they leave, it'd be cancelled, everything'd be cancelled. And I said, you know, we are the most fortunate Canadians in Canada today. There's going to be an invasion of England, we're going to be in the front line. And we're off there. I don't know when we'll be back. I have no idea. But if the naval use that naval prayer, may we be worthy of those who served here before us. One ordinary seaman, I found out later who it was, and on tape, Bill Herbert found out who it was, gave 3 cheers. That ship just shook. 3 cheers. Unbelievable cheers.
Yeah.
And I said, with a tear in my eye, I went to my sea cabin, I said, Jimmy Hibbert, I hope you're worthy of these fellows. You know, it's the people you serve with that does do everything.
Yeah.
You get the real inspiration from your own shipmates.
Yeah.
You don't get it from anything else. You don't fight for, you fight for your shipmates.
Mm-hmm.
And when they inspire you like this, you just hope you'll be worthy of it.
Yeah.
And that's gone through my mind all my life. It's been, may we be worthy of those who served here before us. That's a wonderful.
It's a wonderful prayer.
A wonderful prayer. I used to read it myself, even when I had 2 parsons in the Ontario. I read, insisted on reading that myself.
Was Jock McGilvery your chief?
McGilvery, that's right. McGilvery, grandfather.
Just going to read.
Yeah, he was the chief. I came aboard, and he was with me. He was with me in that in Skeena. Then afterwards, he was with me in the Iroquois when I had the battle with the, when the Charnhurst came out to attack us. He was my chief there.
Yeah, I know Jock. I saw him. In
Give
Ottawa.
My best when you see him.
I saw him in Ottawa a little while ago.
He's
so
fine.
You're in Skeena. You arrive in the UK and you sail.
Our only home was wherever we happened to be. We went around everywhere.
You went south.
When we landed in Plymouth, of course.
Yeah.
So Dunbar and A. Smith was CNC. And I got there 5 minutes. We were told off to go off and join something. We went off the French coast and we went everywhere. We just had no home. We just went anywhere. The war always seemed easy after 1940.
But then the evacuation came along.
Yes.
They were evacuating troops down south, St. Jean de Luz.
That's right. No, and the north coast, we were still there. I never actually went into Dunkirk, but I was off Dunkirk, and I went to a little village somewhere near there to get some people.
Did you?
Yep. But we didn't. It was the spirit of the British people that brought them up. The little boats that went over.
Yes.
The army's in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, those of us who saw that period will never forget. It was the British spirit that won this thing. It was a British spirit that.
Bob Timbrell, as an acting sub-lieutenant, was given a yacht and told to go over and take off people, and that's about all he was told to do.
Yeah,
he did.
To
he made several trips. How many did you take off?
Oh, only a few, because I was doing other things. I was sent out to... to do this. You're sent somewhere. You
yeah,
see.
But what are you doing? Patrol?
Submarine contact over here.
So, yeah, and it's a screening job.
Yes. And then you're sent somewhere else. I can't.
No, you wouldn't remember that. It's a melee now. But did you go to the evacuation in the south?
No. I was. So when the evacuation in the south was.
Nelson Lay was there. Nelson Lay was there.
I was. Where was I when the I was only a few miles away. Something else I was at when the Fraser was cut into, wasn't it, the Fraser?
Yeah, Fraser was cut there into, and Nelson Lay was with her.
Yeah.
And I was Wallace.
I was about 30. I was about 40 miles away. I forget. I was out, sent out to do something. I forget what it was now. I think the damn contact. They were finding contacts everywhere, and that was the silliest thing we ever did.
Yeah. Go
and look at the ocean like a pin in a hayloft to try and go where they'd seen had a contact.
Yeah.
Or seen a periscope.
Yeah, well, everybody was seeing periscopes. Right. Wallace Crery was captain of Fraser, was
yes,
he,
right.
when she was
yes, right.
cut in half?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been unable to get anybody from Fraser that... I was going to see Blair McLean, who was in
he
Fraser.
Died last year,
but
yes.
before I got to him, he died. I had an appointment and he died.
Yeah.
Wallace Crery was on the bridge, and the bridge ended up on the bow of Curacao. Did he ever talk to you about that?
Well, that's roughly what happened. I only everything I know is hearsay.
It's hearsay, is it?
The person to talk to on that one would be Landy Moore, I think.
Yeah, I'll have to get East to talk to him. He was there.
Landy Moore.
He was in Marguerite, and she was around too.
Yeah. Well, the Marguerite was a tragedy. I was talking to Roy. He was captain of the thing, and that night, we're going ahead quite a lot now, you wanted to, and I made him a little on the flashlight, and I said to him, give my best to my wife in Halifax, and tell them we're doing fine over here, and at 4 o'clock in the morning came over, 500 KC have rammed a ship, and I knew it must be, and there was Marguerite being rammed. She was only destroyer.
Yeah.
Whoever said it was a destroyer.
She was cut in half by the port ferry.
Was it? I didn't know which one.
Yeah, it was one of the merchant ships.
She was just going in looking for the convoy.
That's right. She was dropping back, no radar, squally night, poor visibility.
And trying to find, instead of steering the course of the convoy, which was probably zigzagging anyway, she's trying to get into it. And
she was trying to make contact, yeah. Well, Timbrell was in her and Landymore was in her.
Oh, you'll get a lot of people tell you that one.
PFX Russell was in her.
You get a lot of people to tell you
that. But I'm not too sure about Fraser. Well, after what did Skeena do then?
Oh, it's good. Skeena was based in everywhere. She was. We ran up convoys through the Minches, around to Edinburgh, and then we ran convoys down the East Coast. Air attacks were just frightful at that time, and the spirit of the British people. You'll get tired of my.
No, never.
They would make signals to me, because they didn't have. And they'd signal down, what is the score today? How many shot down compared to how many British shot down? And one after another, it was terrific figures. You know, these British pilots were shooting down.
Battle of Britain.
And a Battle of Britain, and of course we'd be attacked from time to time by big, but. Bombs on. They're bombing. You don't sink ships very easy with bombing with the equipment they had in those days.
Is this high-level bombing?
High-level bombing.
Not dive bombing.
No. And
how many times were you bombed?
Oh, 20 times.
Yeah.
I don't remember. At least I didn't remember one hit, but I don't remember anything sinking by being bombed by those high German airplanes. But they were over. Their bombers were busy bombing England.
Yeah.
And I think that was the that history of the what is the score today, you know, and the spirit. We got to come in for a few days. Bob, I don't think there were any boiler cleans in those days. We were so damn busy. I can remember. It was very, very vivid. I still remember our battle, our night, every sail every night to be out of harbor so we wouldn't be bombed in or mined in.
Yeah.
We'd go every night before dark to get out of the harbor with simple instructions. Close and fire all your ammunition, but not before all ammunition is expired, ram, and then act under your own discretion. Those were all the instructions we had on getting ready for the battle, for the invasion of England. Yeah. We fully expected the invasion of England.
I see.
Every
night.
Every night. And we all expected this invasion to come.
Yeah.
And I was out getting my orders at the CNC. Was the Pershing Noble was CNC at the time? I can't remember. And in Liverpool, and within the hour, we told that the invasion was called off. I was sent in for a boarding ticket. We just clear as that. They knew within practically an hour when the invasion was called off.
Sea Lion, it was called.
Sea Lion, was it? That was called, was it?
That was Sector's invasion.
And when that was called off, it was like that.
That's very interesting from an intelligence point of view. How did we know? I wonder.
That's something I've never found out.
It'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
The flag lieutenant said we're going to send you in for one of the chief of staff, I guess. But I was up at the in Liverpool, getting my orders for the evening. Went like that, cancel all this. You see, my dome was wrecked too. I had no acid.
How'd you wreck your dome?
I forget now what happened on that thing. Just maybe some jam in it. I didn't run ashore, I know that.
You'd remember that.
The dome wouldn't work, and the acid wouldn't work. Oh, God. But you have to see that time of year.
Oh, I can see it so vividly.
Were you over there at that time, by any chance?
Yeah, I was at an armed merchant cruiser.
You see that you had to live that. You had to live that to know, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because we saw them go down. I stayed with the Connells. Lady Connell asked me to stay with her for a night when I was having two nights when I was having body tea. And we'd solemnly go down to the cellar every night, take a tea down with us, and sit around the basement while the bombing went on. Every night.
Yeah.
It went on. They'd come up the Mersey and in through Liverpool. The damn place was just flattened out night after
this
night.
This is during your boiler cleaning.
Yeah, my boiler cleaning.
You're probably safer at sea, you know.
Oh, great to get to sea again. bombing. But they never is unbelievable. I've chatted a lot.
Let's just finish with Skeena. Where did you go? Let's just finish the Skeena time. And then
Skeena. Then after we I got into a routine of going out to meet convoys on 20 West. We used to bring the convoys, pick them up take them out to 20 West, and bring them in, and up through the Minches and around there, and then after some convoys through the Minches and south of Invergordon and down.
Yeah. So how long did you spend in the UK in Skeena?
I was over there until 41.
One. And you brought her home?
I brought her home in March, April 41.
Where was Enos all this time? Back here?
Here was us. She went to Helvetch. She lived in Helvetch.
Yeah.
And the spring of 41, and then after that, I was put onto the Atlantic convoys from Newfoundland, mid-ocean escort.
You were based
in Newfoundland.
In Newfoundland, in Skeena.
In Skeena.
In command.
In command.
In going across Iceland and Scotland.
That's right.
Well, that's a good place to cut off, and we'll pick it up there, because that is when you...
That's where I got into SC-42.
I know. That's where I met you at sea.
So when you came to sank a submarine.
SC-42. I think the submarine committed suicide myself.
He said, we think there's some characters today, and we chatted about the days when all the funny things that went on. It was just unbelievable, the characters we had that came out one after another. But I can remember one officer he was a canteen manager, and he ran the canteen for the ship's company. One time, this was Gow Gow, and he bought a bunch of bananas in West Indies. So he put a paper on the bananas, and he hung it the bunch above the engine room hatch, you see? And everybody was to take a banana, and they'd write their name down as one banana. I think it was 1 cent a banana or something like that in those days. Up comes Kinnear, an engineer officer, and came out of the engine room hot and sticking, saw this bunch of bananas up there. But the funny part, the whole bunch of bananas had gone. There was no name on any paper. Nobody'd eaten it. Nobody signed for a banana, and every banana had gone, you see. Yes. So Gal got another bunch, and he hid in the after hatch of the... and he stuck his head around the corner, and up comes Kinnear, takes a banana off, peels it, takes a bite out of it, out comes Gow, and he puts him down for a whole bunch of bananas.
What was his name?
Not quite. I'm just missing his name.
One of the engine room.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Trying to make the books balance was always a problem.
Oh, God. It was unbelievable. And then the wine list was another thing. And somebody had to run the wine. You were allowed... Gin was tuppence a glass, and you had to balance the thing. And I never forget. One time, and the captain D coming aboard and saying, you know, they've had too much to drink here. He used to have to sign. He expected the ship to sign the wine book.
Yes.
And if they have much to drink, and the engineer, again, I can't remember his name, but sir, they were all drunk.
They were all drunk. Yeah. You say that.
Oh dear.
A lot of us used to keep two sets of wine books. One was what actually went on, and one was for Captain D.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
I never ran the wine book. Mm. I never ran the wine book. I wouldn't trust me with it. Mm. But I thought the funniest thing I reckon that, but you see, they had the damnedest time. With a guy like myself, I did the job all right everywhere, so they never fired me. But I think in 1 year, 42, 52, 10 years, that was, they didn't like to fire me.
Have I got my copy? Did you give me that copy?
No, you want one?
Pardon?
One lot.
All the times you were acting and all.
Oh, here, you can have that. I got another. I don't think I gave you that, did I?
You gave me one.
Oh, did I? Oh,
I don't know if I should have kept it.
Oh, sure, you can keep it.
Yeah. There you are. January 41, acting commander while holding. July 41, acting commander. January 43, commander. May 45, acting captain while holding. January 46, acting captain. January 47, captain. August 50, acting commodore while holding. Let's see how he does.
Yeah. I don't blame him for being nervous.
But you didn't go up from acting commodore while holding to.